year-end functions and parties and drives, outreach events. And then you've got to somewhere amongst all of that fit in the glorious Christmas shopping. Who loves Christmas shopping? Online. Yeah, hey? Nobody puts up their hands. Not even the ladies, hey? Come on. Love taking your husband's credit cards. Hades like, yes, please. Okay. But none of us really enjoy it that much. You know, it's just absolute chaos. That's the one thing you can be certain of this time of the year. You go into any shop and it's just people. You're like, where have you been all year? You know, like saving up or like shopping elsewhere. But that's one thing you can be certain of, eh? Is the shops are just jam-packed. And in all this rushing and this queuing and waiting and the busyness of the festive season, I want to ask you, have you ever just stopped at your favorite coffee shop, a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and just stopped and observed what was going on around you? Observed the adverts, observed the people, observed the rushing, the queuing, the waiting, the buying, observed the crowds. Crowds rushing, pushing, shoving each other. A bustling mass of humanity. Google that word later. Have you ever looked, I mean really just looked, at the individuals? At that woman, she looks absolutely exhausted. Especially if they're like four kids nearby, hey? Trying to keep them all together. Does she maybe have a sick mother or mother-in-law? Has her husband been retrenched? Have you seen that teenager that's dressed in just the right gear? Everything is just perfect. The right shoes, the right shirt, and every now and then he checks in the mirrors, you know? Or even a quick selfie just to check, are you okay, the hair is still okay, hey? Or you've watched an older person, maybe a widow, grandmother or grandfather, walking on their own through this bustling mass, trying to get to the shops, get that deal, get that gift that would make the receiver of the gift feel loved like never before. What do you see when you look at the crowds? What did Jesus see when he looked at the crowds? We don't have to guess, so let's turn together in our Bibles to Matthew 9. Verse 35 to 38. Or open up that Bible app of yours and click on today's event, and it should open up the scripture reading immediately. Let's have a look at what Jesus looked at when he witnessed the masses, the bustling masses of people, the crowds. Let's look at what he saw, but more importantly, what he did when he witnessed those crowds. So, Matthew 9, verse 35. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Just that far this morning. When we read verse 35, we can see that Jesus is doing church. He's teaching, preaching, healing people throughout the cities and the villages. He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. Jesus is actively meeting the needs of all he came into contact with. But then, when he looked up and he drove out of the parking lot, he witnessed the masses. The masses of people, men, women, and children, completely lost, being harassed by the things of this world, pulling at them, calling them to do this, believe this, obey this, try this, buy this. All with a false promise of fulfillment, leaving them completely helpless. helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, in their context, they were under severe Roman oppression. Strict religious standards, customs and festivals they needed to adhere to. The Pharisees demanded strict adherence to the law for salvation. If a person had a problem, they were given another law to try and help them out. How cooked is that? Hey, you're struggling with loving your neighbor, and so we'll give you another 40 laws on how to get that right. Hey, of course they're going to struggle to keep it together. Of course they're going to struggle and feel helpless, being harassed all the time. And so when Jesus saw these crowds in Matthew 11, he cried out to them. He said to them, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." While he was teaching and preaching, he looks up, he sees the crowds being not just harassed by the Pharisees and teachers of the law, but harassed by life itself. People running to the shops, making sure they get that Black Friday deal. Hey? Even today, this is true. That when we observe our lives, and we observe our society, our malls, people are being harassed all the time. We are under serious demands all the time for your time, your money, and your energy. All the time. Do this, buy this, obey this, try this. Like sheep without a shepherd, we often feel. Lost in this world. And so when Jesus looks up and he sees us, we pick it up. He says, "I'm moved with compassion. I am moved with compassion." You see, Jesus felt compassion for the lost. Whereas he looked up and he saw the masses of people who haven't found the one thing, the only thing that could fill that void inside of them. Maybe we also need the same compassion of Jesus when we look at the masses of people in our lives. The crowds, as we walk through the malls, may we also have the same compassion on people searching, longing for something to fill that void. Because some of us, if not all of us, were there as well. We were all searching and longing. We were all trying to buy stuff to fill that hole, or date the right person, or marry the right person. We were trying so many different things to fill that hole within us, and then somebody had compassion on us. Somebody saw us from a distance going, "Dude, you're in the wrong shop. You're buying the wrong thing. How about you buy into Jesus?" Because he was the only person, the only thing that filled that void inside of me. But some of us have forgotten about that day where somebody had compassion on us. And today, may the Holy Spirit remind you to such an extent that when you look up and you notice the tens of hundreds and thousands of people in our lives who haven't come to know God yet, may you be moved with compassion for them, just like Jesus was. Where your response is, "Lord, my heart breaks for the masses who are still searching for you, just like I once did. Lord, we need more workers to go out into the fields to gather in the massive harvest." May that be your prayer this morning. As you are reminded by the Holy Spirit of your day, that moment where you ask God to come into your life and fill that void, that moment that you stop searching and longing for other things, that moment God filled that void. May you be reminded of that this morning, to the extent where you would pray this prayer, "Lord, we need more workers. We need more people to go out there, moved by compassion like we were once. like you were when you looked at the crowds. We need more people like that to go out in our everyday lives, to go into our office blocks, our neighborhoods, our shops, our schools, our varsities. We need more people to go and tell the world that Jesus loves them and will fill that void inside of them completely. Jesus will fill that void completely. And so, Lord, bring in your harvest. We need more people. Bring it in. As we saw the little wonderful display for the front row, you guys had a front row seat and was lekker. Did you notice the first time when Leah was on her own? The little one? Hey? I was like, come on, man. Bucky, she can hardly talk. Hey? Probably can't. I'm not sure. But she got it. She was like, she saw the masses of balls, completely lost without an owner, need to be inside the box. And poor Leah has to do all of this in 30 seconds. And she was like, whatever Janine said, I'm going to help. I'm going to help because this ball needs Jesus. This person needs Jesus. Oh, from the mouths of babes, let's get this morning. That there are hundreds of thousands of people out there that need to know about Jesus. People in their 20s and people in their 70s. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you're at varsity or in a retirement village, people need to know about God. And God needs us. He wants to use us to go out into our everyday lives and just say, hey, I was once there too. I was also searching and longing. And I found Jesus. And he completely fulfilled me. And to this day still does. Let me tell you about him. Friends, the text this morning says we've got to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. Pray passionately. And if you really struggle to go and talk to a complete stranger, well, pray even more passionately that God would send another worker to go and talk to people. Hey? Like, please, Lord, just send Jan because I can't do it. And do it passionately. Because you've got compassion on those who need Jesus because you were once there yourself. Hey? When we drive out here today, pray earnestly with your eyes open. That God would send out more workers into this harvest field. I'm telling you, on a Friday night, it is ripe for the gospel. It is ripe for Jesus. These oaks are running to Jack Daniels instead of God. We need more workers to go out into this harvest field right on our doorstep. Right on our doorstep. Oh Lord, please send out more workers. To do for them what you did for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, okay, I will pray earnestly. But maybe you're here and God's pulling at those strings of your heart going, I have called you to go out into this world. You're like, yo, Jan, yeah. No, you and John, you've been called, trained, and equipped as pastors to go and do this. No. Not just John and I, every person in this room. You have been called by God to go into the harvest field and bring in his harvest. Doesn't mean you've been called to be a pastor or a teacher or a prophet, but you've been called by God to go. And so the following texts, Romans 12 verse 6 to 8 and 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8 to 10, a wonderful paraphrase really blew my socks off because it describes every person in this room. Just hear this out. If you preach, so this is more for John and I, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. keep a smile on your face. That's Romans 12, 6 to 8. You've been called by God to help, to teach, to encourage, if you put in charge, to give aid, and to work with those who are disadvantaged. 1 Corinthians 12, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Holy Spirit and to all kinds of people. And the variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. You see, God has gifted and called every single one of us to be workers in His field, in His harvest. This morning, are you willing to respond to God and to your own prayers? Where you're sitting in your lounge and you can hear a ruckus next door, and you know that in that ruckus, they need the love of God, just like you've experienced it. Oh Lord, please send out workers into that field with compassion to go and show them your love like I once received it. And you never know. You might be gifted and called to give encouraging guidance. Obviously, your timing needs to be impeccable. You know, you don't want a brick flying at you or that kind of thing, but you're going to go knock on a neighbor's door. Hey, would you like a cup of coffee? Can I help you mow your lawn? You know, build that relationship because of the compassion inside of you that is given to you by God, because you're looking at the masses right on your doorstep and God wants them into His kingdom. And He wants to use you in the most creative ways. And so will you allow God to break your heart for what breaks His today? As you come to realize that everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Everyone needs forgiveness and the kindness of a Savior. And so will you look at the crowds in your life with the same compassion that Christ had and pray earnestly, pray passionately to the Lord of the harvest? God, will you send out workers into the massive crowds of people who don't know you? And will you bring them into a relationship with you just like you did with me? And then will you respond to God's call today? Will you become part of God's answer to your prayers and allow Him to call you, train you, and equip you to go out there and tell the world that Jesus loves them? Will you do that today? 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 Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you had compassion on me, on us, on every single person sitting in this room this morning. You had such compassion on us when you looked at us from a distance. You saw how helpless we were, being harassed by the things of this world, like sheep without a shepherd. And yet you sent someone to come and tell us about your wonderful love, your amazing grace. And so today we ask, Lord, that you would give us the same compassion that you had for us and for the crowds as we read in the text this morning. Give us that same compassion, Lord, so that we are moved to pray and pray earnestly, passionately to you, to call and equip and send more people into your harvest field. And Lord, as you heard us respond this morning, yes, we are willing. We are willing to pray. We are willing to go. So send us out, Lord, into your harvest and help us to go and tell more people that Jesus loves them and fulfills them completely, just like you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.